Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Mark, chapter 6. But before we read that, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. As we turn to it now, we pray that You would give us hearts and minds ready to understand it. Would You make it clear to us by Your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How were such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages, teaching." Do you ever find it amazing, as a Christian, that people don't believe? Do you ever get that feeling? You talk to maybe friends or family members or work colleagues or even just people in general, and you just look at them and you think to yourself, how can you not believe? It seems so obvious, doesn't it? When you look at the gospel and you look at everything that it teaches us about Jesus, when you consider all of the mysteries that God has revealed in Christ and in His Word, think about the infinite goodness of God in the way that He has displayed His kindness, displayed His grace, displayed His mercy, displayed His love, displayed His glory. When you think about all of that, it just kind of overwhelms you. And you tell people about it and you just scratch your head because they don't get it. They just don't get it. Isn't it bizarre? How is it that you can tell someone about Jesus offering himself up as a sacrifice, as a complete propitiatory atoning sacrifice, and they can just reject him? Doesn't that just strike you as bizarre? Well, I don't know, it strikes me as bizarre. And yet, it happens. Why? Where does unbelief come from? How do we understand unbelief? We get an insight into it in this text. This section here in the beginning of Mark 6 helps us understand one of the reasons. I mean, there are lots of reasons why, but one of the reasons, and I think one of the big reasons in our families especially, and amongst our close friends, of why people reject Christ. And that is familiarity, or closeness, or a thought understanding. Or rather, looking at Jesus with physical, earthly eyes. Looking at Jesus in a worldly fashion. And that's exactly what we see in this text, isn't it? It starts with this people of Nazareth who look at Jesus and ask the question, "Where did this man get these things from? Where did this man get these things from?" You see, he's been teaching, and they hear the incredible teaching. Now, and you and I think, well, if you're sitting in the teaching, in the synagogue, you're going to be amazed. But they hear it, and they hear it with human ears, and they just say, Where did he get this from? Who does he think he is to come in here and start teaching like this? What is this wisdom given to him? Now, don't understand this as a positive. They're not really asking the question. They're saying, wow. This is not an astonishment of awe. They're not saying, wow, where did Jesus get this teaching from? Where did this wisdom come from? This is amazing. No, it's a thing of despise. They're despising him. How are such mighty works done by his hands? They're seeing the miracles in there, and they're questioning how on earth these things could ever come from Jesus. Why? Because they know Jesus. Looking at him through earthly eyes, they know him. And so they say, Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this the carpenter? Just, we know him. He builds chairs. He builds tables. He builds houses, maybe. We know him.
He's no one special. He's no one significant. He never achieves anything of importance. Who does he think he is to come in here and start teaching us of eternal life? And to start doing miracles? In fact, we don't just know his job, we know his family. He doesn't even come from a respectable family. He comes from Mary. Yeah, and we know the story of that firstborn child.
We see his brothers, they're here, they don't believe in him. We know his sisters, they don't believe in him. What's the problem? Well, Jesus tells us what their problem is. A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives in his own household. You see, the prophet goes to other places. You can think of Elijah going outside of Israel to other places and being welcomed and received. However, in Israel, he was hated and wanted dead. And Jesus is the same. He travels to other parts of Israel, and he's welcomed and loved and adored and followed, but in his own hometown he's rejected. Why? Because they think they know him. They judge him with human eyes and human understanding and human perception. And you see, that's the problem with our loved ones. That's our problem with our friends and our work colleagues. We tell them of Christ, and what do they say? He's just a good teacher. He's just a moralist. He's just a good prophet. They look at him with human eyes and say it's not possible. People don't come back from the dead. It's not possible. You can't feed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread. It's not possible for someone to do those things. Someone made it up. They judge with fleshly understanding. Why? Because, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ unless you've been given eyes to see and hearts to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, they were so stubborn and fixed in their ways that Jesus couldn't even do works of power there. Now, it doesn't mean he couldn't, as in he didn't have the power to, but as in they didn't want him to. They didn't believe in him. They didn't have faith. There was no sign of belief. So Jesus decided not to do anything there. This is the story of our world, isn't it? Filled with doubts. And maybe it's your story. Maybe it's your story today that you sit here and you think to yourself, why would I believe in Jesus? Or maybe it's the story of your child. Maybe it's the story of your loved one, of your friend or your family member. I sat around a dinner table recently with a family member who was exactly like this. He grew up in the church, grew up with the gospel, and he will not believe because he thinks he knows better, because he's looking with fleshly eyes. What is his hope? Well, it's the same hope that came true for you and I. And that's that God would give us eyes to see. You see, the only hope for these family members who reject Jesus is that God would give them eyes to see and believe in Jesus Christ. What does that mean for you and I? Well, it means we point them to Christ, but it means something else. It means we are utterly dependent upon God for them to be saved. The only hope for the people of Nazareth is that God would give them eyes. God would give them spiritual eyes. He would regenerate their hearts and cause them to believe. And it's the same for those around us. And so for you and I, this means we need to fall on our knees before a good and gracious God. Fall on our knees and plead with him. Come before our Father and plead with him to open the eyes of the blind, that they might believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. Thank you for this daily devotion. We just pray that you would bless this word to us. And we do pray for our loved ones. Give them eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow.